Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Yat-ay, hello and welcome to Native Art Veterans of the Four Corners, a special program that we are debuting this time on the regular Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. This is Vinaya Yazzi, and I'm glad you could join us this morning. Today, our guest is a resident of the local area. Her name is AJ Begay. Good morning, AJ.
Yat-ay. This is quite an honor. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so glad that you could be my inaugural guest here on Native Veteran Art Voices of the Four Corners. And I always say here in the Four Corners, within our matriarchy of the Navajo people, we always have the women leading the way. So you are going to be the first one, AJ. So with that, I will let you introduce yourself in your way that you'd like to.
Yat-ay, AJ Begay, Yinishye, Nakaidine, Nishlet, Hotnasunni, Bashishin. Tortachitnie dashiche and batatnie dashinale. Akut ego dene estan nishle. Hello, everybody. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me, Vinaya. And, you know, my name is AJ Begay. I am a resident of the area. Originally, I'm from Nayuthi, New Mexico, which is a little further south than Farmington here on 550. I grew up there, and now I live here in Farmington.
Yes, I do too. I'm so glad to be able to do this program where I'm able to interview veterans who are natives, but who are also linked to the creative way, the creative process of making art, doing art, and existing as an artist within our community here. I wanted to ask you the question, what is your history in the military, in the service?
Well, you know, I am an Army veteran. I enlisted right immediately after high school, way back in the late 90s. And I enlisted. I was an 82 Charlie, which was a field artillery surveyor. I always joke about this. I didn't really think ahead about what I wanted to do after the military. I was young and a teenager, and my sights were set on that day. And, you know, I chose to be a field artillery surveyor among many other choices simply because I wanted to blow things up, you know. I didn't think about, you know, what would come afterwards and what I could do, you know, with that job. But just being in that job, you know, really opened my eyes to a lot of things and, you know, took me to, you know, a few places that I otherwise wouldn't have gone to at that time. So, you know, that's what I did. I enlisted in high school. I did basic training at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I went on to AIT, which is, you know, the basic school part of it where you learn your job at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And then afterwards, my orders were to go to Germany. So after that, my first duty station was in Bamberg, Germany with the 1st ID. And I was with a division artillery unit there where, you know, I was placed in a small little section of other surveyors. That's kind of what I did and just worked there and learned my job, used my job to, you know, train mostly because I was in a, you know, I was in a job where it was primarily male. Field artillery is usually a male, you know, dominant area. So being a female, one of the few females in field artillery, was really quite special for me because, you know, I felt like I was doing something a little different than what other females were doing. You know, I chose a job where it really challenged me to set myself apart and to do these things that otherwise, you know, were given to men and men, male dominated. society, sort of. I was kind of going against those norms. You know, that's what I did in the military, just kind of like, you know, you see surveyors alongside the road taking measurements, using maps, using, you know, distances, formulas, things like that to get, you know, specific coordinates and specific points in order for other jobs, infield artillery, to get those rounds, you know, of artillery down to a specific place. So that was my job in the military.
It's amazing, AJ. That's such a wonderful experience that you had. You know, you always hear that phrase, come join the military and see the world. I think that used to be a slogan maybe in the 90s, because you and I, you're a little younger than me, but I remember, you know, that sort of thing. But, great that you got to travel to another land and leave this place that we as Navajos called the Netra or Nihikea, our Navajo land, and you got to go beyond those borders and see, you know, what life was like outside of these sacred areas that we know as Navajo people. That's really interesting what you said about you being in a male-dominated workspace in Germany. As a Navajo woman, you know, a Sun Nilinigi, you know, you grew up in this matriarchy, in this culture of women where women lead traditionally in all aspects of family life and even in governance. What did you feel like as being specifically as a Navajo person, as a woman inside this circle of men? Did you feel kind of empowered a little from maybe your history of who you are as a Navajo woman while you were in Germany?
Yes, definitely. You know, grew up in a family of leaders. You know, my grandma was a councilwoman for the Navajo Nation in the Nyagisi area. So, you know, growing up, knowing that my grandma was a leader, not just a woman who was, you know, looked at and looked upon as somebody who lead, you know, who in her community, but someone who is an actual, you know, following in her footsteps. And then, you know, my uncle was he was a Korean War veteran. And my uncle Henry Jesus, you know, I took that as, you know, and we were, he and I were actually on the same, we were actually both stationed on the same post. He was also in Bamberg, Germany during that Korean War era. You know, he was also first ID back then also. But being a female, a Navajo, a Diné female woman, it really, and with that past and the females in my family and my mother, who always took charge, who always had, you know, who was always leading me and telling and teaching me to be a strong woman and a strong female among anybody else, to step up. That really, you know, it really set a foundation and it set a path for me to follow. You know, although I was young and really didn't, you know, like I had said, I wasn't really thinking about the future at that time in my life. You know, I still had those teachings within me and I still had those foundations set deep in my heart and deep in that my mom put down for me and my grandmother put down for me to follow. So being among men and being among a lot of non-natives, it did empower me. You know, that's a great word. It did empower me and it did set me up for success. It took a little while for me to get used to that. I'm sure like any other person in the military, to get used to that structure, strict structure, that early in life. But, you know, growing up on the reservation, getting up early, you know, to catch the bus, to, you know, making sure my homework was done, sometimes by lamplight, in order to get my grades, you know, because I was a good student. And, you know, mom and my grandma put that in me and the leadership of my uncle put that in me, instilled that in me. So being a female in the military, you know, it really did help my growing and my past, who I was as a Diné, you know, child, as a Diné woman, as a Diné young woman, growing up like that. It did, you know, it helped me get through that.
I think whether you were in a military position or not, and you're just a civilian, you know, I think a lot of us as Navajo individuals always remember our grandmothers, our great uncles, our great aunties who taught us how to live a good life, you know, in the Navajo way. you know, they call that Nijonago Nanidna, or, you know, the Hojo way of living, where you're balanced in all aspects of your life. So, you know, you do have the positives, you do have the negatives, but some way, somehow, in our Dina beliefs and philosophies and, you know, our morals and values, we find a way to have a balance, you know, and to live a good life. So I think you are successful in that way as far as being in the military. You know, I know the military, you know, it's another culture of living, you know, from regular people. Maybe if you don't mind talking about maybe one positive and one negative aspect. Maybe the positive was just that you remember your grandparents, you know, teachings. Would you be willing to share anything like that, AJ?
Yeah. You know, I think the positive part, when I reflect on my military service, I went through a period within the last few years of being almost ashamed of being in the military, you know, of having been in that role. And I know a lot of people, you know, when I bring that up, are, you know, they kind of scoff, like, you know, what do you mean? And the reason for that is, you know, just the military history itself with our people, with the, you know, westward expansion and the forts that were set up here, and the military, you know, rounding up our people and taking them down to, you know, Huelde, and, you know, just that history of how the traumatic history the military has played, you know, as a role with our people and with Native people all over Turtle Island. You know, it really impacted me, you know, as I reflected on that. But I went through, you know, not only that sort of emotion, but also Natives are the number one population and group of people who have volunteered to fight for the country, you know, and a lot of them before me and you know, my uncle's, you know, era and World War One and going before that, a lot of that was because they wanted to fight not for the government or for whoever it was, but for the land itself. It was the land that they were fighting for. You know, the land is important to us as people. I did go through that reflection. I did go through those emotions, and I still do. You know, there's some times where I'm just like, you know, was it a good time in my life? Should I have been in the military? Was that something I should have done as a Diné person? I go through that, but I'm also, you know, on the other spectrum, I'm also proud of that because not many people have done that. And I made it through, you know, and I made it through successfully. You know, and it does make me emotional, but when I reflect on things like that, the positive things that I come out with is, you know, being able to connect with other people, to show them that I'm Native, to show them that my, you know, this is my background, this is where I'm from. Other positive things I loved about it were the people I met, the close relationships that I still maintain to this day with my friends, and quote-unquote battle buddies from back then. There's a lot of leaders that I'm still friends with that I look up to this day, to this day, who are still in the military, who are retiring now, but who taught me a different way of thinking, you know, a higher way of thinking of being successful in your mind also, which, you know, added to that strength and that foundation that my mothers and my mother and my grandmother set for me, you know, and also being able to go to places like Germany and to be in a different land and meeting a different people who also loved their land and who were also very prideful of where they were from and who they were. I hold on to those ties and those people that I met and people that I still am friends with to this day. You know, I hope that they're glad they know me also, you know, because I'm sure I've exposed them to a different way of life also, you know, hey, there's Natives here, you know, we are still here, we are here, we're, you know, this is who we are, you know, I think it goes both ways. And, you know, those positive experiences for me, I try to draw out of sometimes when I doubt myself or when I doubt what I've been through, I tend to, you know, look forward to that, you know, and just with my uncle's experience in the military, which wasn't great, you know, there was a lot of racism within, you know, the military then with him. And, you know, I learned a lot of things that he went through that really you know, that really made me sad and made me angry. And, you know, and I kind of, you know, so there's, you know, I fight with that. I fight with that, you know, military service and how it's affected me or how it's affected others or how it's affected our ancestors, how it's affected, you know, people, how it's affecting people now. So, you know, I do think about it a lot, and I do battle with it when it comes up.
I can imagine, AJ, you know, you've been so much experience, mental, spiritual, physical, being in the military. I mean, just the boot camp alone, I'm sure, is an experience. But, you know, I think one of the things that you mentioned is that, you know, the Native population is one of the populations that really steps up to join the military. I mean, we have a lot of Navajo students in this community who join ROTC because I work in the schools. And, you know, I notice how they're really interested in it. And a lot of it does have to do with the land, right? Nihikea. You know, when we as Navajos think about where we exist, this is our homeland. This is home. You know, we don't think of so-called America as being our homeland. We just think of Navajo land, Dinetka. You know, like you're from the Naive easy area, and that's your cultural landscape. You know all the things that are around there, the plants, the trees, the mesas, the hills, you know all that. That's your cultural landscape. And, you know, I think for a lot of Navajo people, wherever they live, whether it be in Arizona, Utah, here in New Mexico, and I'm sure we have Navajos in Colorado, you know, we get used to that idea of like, this is the land that I live and I want to protect it and I want to maintain it and I want to live in harmony with it. So thank you for sharing that experience, you know, because there are positives and negatives. There is the light and the dark, you know, as they call the yin and the yang. That leads me into wanting to talk a little bit about the art process. You know, maybe that's why we have so many Navajos that are artists, because we've been through all this trauma and we had to find ways to like heal our spirit. I mean, most every Navajo you meet, they're going to be an artist or they're going to be some kind of creative. That leads me to a question that I want to ask. What art do you do? Do you still do art, or did you do any art creative process while you were in the military? And then maybe you brought that process back to like civilian life after the service and continued. What was that like to you, that transition, and how did art play a role within that?
Well, when I was in the military, I did draw, you know, I sketched a lot. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't really into my art like I am now. You know, I sketched, you know, just here and there. When I would get homesick, and that was a lot, I always get so homesick. My mom used to send me, a lot of my grandpas and uncles were part of the Turtle Mountain Singers, and she'd send me their tapes or their CDs, and I'd listen to Carlos Nakai, you know, different powwow groups that I loved. And I would sit there and I would draw in my room and listen to that. And it would not only make me cry, but it would, you know, it would help me heal, because I was so homesick at that time in the military. When I got out, I went into this period of a dark time in my life where it was, you know, it was a dark period for me, you know, and I worked my way through that. And, you know, I used art to get through that time in my life. You know, when I was growing up, my Aunt Lori, who is, you know, she's my, and you know how our aunties are as natives were, and Dene were, our aunts are, our Shamayajus, and our, you know, they play a huge role in our lives, where they're almost, you know, they're our mothers almost. And she was like a second mother to me. She taught me how to bead. She taught me how to use that process to clear my mind, to calm down, to center myself, and to get back to where I needed to be. Even as a child, you know, if I was getting hyper or crazy while she was making her jewelry, she'd say, come here, sit down, you know, get your beads out. And, you know, and I would sit down, and that's how she would calm me down. And I took that into my life now. If I'm feeling anxious, if there's something going on mentally, spiritually, that I feel like I need to center myself again, I pull out my beads, I start beading. And that for me, it really meant, it calms me mentally and it gives me clarity. Also, you know, using art, drawing, I love doing portraits and portraiture. I did a large portrait of Chief Manuelito's wife, you know, Juanita, because to me, she, you know, was a figure that I saw as a figure of strength, a figure of someone who stood up and also as a leader among her people, among the people, just, you know, as a wife of one of our leaders. That one was gifted. I gifted that several years later to Dr. Dennedale, who is her ancestor. But just doing that portrait really helped me get through a lot of things. So, you know, my art, my painting, my drawing, my beading, you know, that really does help. It does. And you're right. It's a tool of healing. A lot of natives, a lot of people who use their art as a way to again, center themselves, to get them back to where they need to be mentally and spiritually, you know, because during, you know, even my beading process, I pray. And I pray for the person who's going to be receiving this piece of beadwork. I pray for everybody around me. I pray for everybody that I know, people that come to mind, people who, you know, who might need prayer at that time. So it is a spiritual process for me. Definitely, it's a tool of healing. All my mediums, you know, whether it's drawing, painting, or beading.
I totally get what you're saying about the process of art, because the process as far as setting up your art space, getting your materials ready, that you haven't even started by creating the actual object. So even the process is healing, you know, because if you look at our Navajo culture, it really is methodical, and there's a lot of dogma rituals that go into doing, say, traditional things, maybe prayer or whatever it may be. And so, you know, when you look at art, the process of it is paralleling that same kind of tangible action. And so I think, you know, what you're saying as far as art as a healing mechanism is really a true statement. You know, what you found was a place to have solace and to have peace the way you needed it, because we all have to make our unique way in this world. And, you know, that's not just like walking within, you know, Navajo country and then walking within American society. You know, it also includes, you know, us doing those little tiny moments of how we heal. You know, I understand, like with your beading and your drawing, it's very like a very kinesthetic way of action, because you're using your fine motor skills to do these things, especially with beading. And I don't know what size bead you work with. You're probably like in like size 19 beads.
I usually work with a lot of, you know, 12s, okay. 13s, if I can, you know, if I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, even just, you know, the other medium, you know, I wanted to bring up too is the podcasting. Although that's nothing that's really, you know, hands-on like beadwork, it's still, you know, something that, you know, it's also healing, because I get to speak with other people, you know, like yourself, and hear their experiences and heal through their stories, and to understand and to know that my situation is sometimes is not unique, because we're all, as natives, we're all kind of healing through the same thing. Sometimes we all have a somewhat of a similar story. Even something like that, talking to other people, is a way of you know, connecting, and to find those connections between each other as Native people, and finding out how other people are dealing and healing and working through things and becoming successful in the end, which makes me happy. You know, I want to hear how our people are succeeding. I want to hear how our people are winning, and how they're stepping up over all of these traumas and rising above that. And making sure that they're successful and they're coming up on top. You know, that makes my spirit happy. And I want to celebrate everybody that I can, because not only is it healing for me, you know, I'm hoping to, you know, make sure that they're healing and they're highlighted, and, you know, things like that. So, you know, that's another medium, I think, that's really been helping.
I could totally see you being an advocate for post-military vets, where, you know, in your podcast, you might talk about how they're doing art. But the other part is, you I'm sure you've probably taught beading to some people. You know, I know there's a lot of organizations now that, you know, help veterans, whether it may be like economic way where they get them housing and food. But then there's also the other part of that where, you know, the holistic or the well-being part of helping veterans comes into play. I think there's many roles that you as a Navajo woman, as an Indigenous person living here in the Four Corners will be able to, you know, while you're helping people, like myself, we're also helping ourselves, because mm-hmm. when I look at art and the stories I've heard about our cultural teachings as Navajo people, art was always meant to be communal. It was never meant to just keep to ourselves and be selfish with, just to inflate our ego. No, it's not individualistic traditionally, although now it has become, but culturally and traditionally, it was meant to help the people, heal the people. You know, we were mm-hmm. given these specific gifts in order to help people. You know, that's why we're artists, and that's why we were designated to be artists as Navajo people. With that, you know, I think you're on a great road, AJ, as far as understanding where you stood in the military, where you stand now as a veteran, and how you're kind of navigating your way through our community here in the Four Corners. And I just wish you all the best, especially with your podcast. And I think you're on the right road to that part. I think I have one last question I'd like to ask you far as just being an artist, being a Navajo, being a veteran. How do you see your art? How did that benefit you in this life now? Just, and you kind of went through all of that already, but mm-hmm. specifically like right now in this moment, you said beating is the one that really, you know, helps you. What would you suggest to other, you know, veterans who might decide to maybe dabble in the arts or who are already artists? How would you say that beating would kind of help their mental, spiritual, physical existence?
It's a spiritual process, whether, you know, I'm beating or I'm drawing. You know, if I'm drawing a portrait of someone, I sit there and I think about their lives, who they were, the smile that they had, what did their laughter sound like? You know, who made them laugh? You know, where did they grow up? How did they feel about where they grew up? You know, when I bead, the process of pulling out a pattern, of planning that pattern, the process in itself is really healing and spiritually healing for me. I want other artists to use that and to take those processes that they might think are just menial and that are just part of it, a part of what they do, you know. I want them to take those processes and really just kind of take that in spiritually and think about them on a deeper level as something that it means something. It means something to prepare. It means something to pull out the right brushes. You know, it means something to plan the pattern that you're going to do if you're beading. You know, the colors that you're using, are those colors significant for some reason or another? You know, what are you thinking about when you do these processes? And are those thoughts good? Are they, you know, are you putting your emotions and the energy that you create with that, you know, into this piece of art? That's how I work. I'm not sure how other artists work or how they feel. And I'm sure everybody's almost, you know, the same in how they feel and what they do. But that's kind of, you know, my suggestion is, you know, think about your art on a deeper level. Think about what you're doing and how it's going to affect the person, you know, you give it to, the person you teach it to, the person who's watching you. How is it going to help somebody else? Because, you know, I think art is meant to help yourself, too. You know, I know as Diné people, we always put ourselves last sometimes. Always everybody before is kind of how we're taught. So sometimes taking quote unquote selfish approach to that and how it's going to affect you, how it's healing you is a good way to, it's a good way to do your art. And that way you're able to help others and to help in the healing process if somebody else might, you know, might need you.
Najana, well said, AJ. Definitely. I'm very grateful for you being a part of this program today, AJ. And you're just a wealth of knowledge. Every time I talk to you, I learn something new. Now I learned a little bit of new, like, military jargon, and I'm very appreciative of that. When you gain new knowledge, you become a new person, and I'm just grateful for you today. I'm really glad that you were my first guest on this new program that we're going to be doing until June, Native Art Veterans of the Four Corners. And I look forward to seeing what you make next. I just wish you all the best for this new year and this new season of life. Just thank you.
I want to just give you all the blessings and just let you know that I'm always here. So let me know. And thank you again.
Thank you for listening to Native Art Veterans of the Four Corners. And we will talk to you and see you again next show.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.